Blessed be the God of Israel who comes to set us free.
Blessed be the God of Israel who shows unfailing love and mercy toward us.
Blessed be the God of Israel who has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David and remembered the covenant with our ancestor Abraham.
Come, dwell among us.
Give light to those who sit in darkness.
In this time of waiting and preparation, we do well to remember the words of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., who said, "Peace is not some distant goal that we seek, but a means by which we arrive at that goal. It is indeed a way." So here and now, we recommit ourselves to learning peace, to living peace, to creating peace. Friends, the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Now share it with one another.
Peace be with you.
The room is full of peace and joy, and that is good indeed. Brothers and sisters, in the name of the one for whom we wait and in whose spirit we gather, I welcome you to the First Congregational Church of the United Church of Christ here in Stockbridge. Welcome to the lost and the lonely, the broken and the breaking, the tired and the aching, who long for the nourishment found here at this feast. Welcome to the done and the doubting, the wishing and the wondering, the puzzled and the pondering, who long for the company found here at this feast. Welcome to the proud and the pretentious, the sure and superior, the never inferior, who long for the leveling that is found here at this feast. Welcome to the bright and the bustling, the stirs and the shakers, the kind laughter makers, who long for the deeper joys found at this feast. Welcome one and all to this holy time and to this holy place. May here you encounter the sacred and dwell amidst the holy. And here may you find all that you need, even if you have no idea what that might be. Welcome one and all. I would invite anyone else who has an announcement to make to go ahead and join the folks who have already gathered here. While they come, a couple of things that I would like to bring to your attention. In the pews, there are pew cards for our visitors. If we do not know how to get a hold of you, please take one and fill one out that we might reach out. Second, I want to lift up a huzzah, a way to go, a congratulations, and even a high five. First of all, to the women of the Service League, what an amazing and successful Holly Fair. Thank you also to all of the volunteers who showed up to help them. This place was full of life and joy and beauty yesterday. Thank you to all of you. Then last night, I want to extend a thank you to the Berkshire Lyric for a gorgeous concert in front of a completely packed house that was here in this sanctuary. It was just a day in the life of the church. And to talk about more days in the life, I see we have a number of announcements. Anne.
Yeah, I'm Anne Hutchinson, and I have a couple of hats this morning. Open Table is going to have a big holiday community dinner on the 17th. I want everybody who's ever worked there, volunteered there, eaten there, thought about coming, thought maybe next week I'll come, to come. We're going to have roast beast. David Pilaro is our cook, and he's an amazing cook. And we want everybody there. So please show up the 17th. And my second announcement is the Sunday school is going to leave after the Taiz. That's after the lighting of the candle. And we're going to learn something in American Sign Language. A lot of people think this is how you do peace, but in ASL, American Sign Language, it's like this. Isn't that great? You got it.
Good morning, Jackie Hawkins, the Flower Committee. And as you saw in your in your programs this morning, you should have all gotten a memorial form. I'm sorry I'm late. I should have done this maybe a couple of weeks ago. So we only have this week and next Sunday to get the forms in. In the Jonathan Edwards room, there is a box that you can put that in. Also, your check, please. And if not, on there, my address is there, and you can send it to me. But I would like to have them all in, possibly, by next Sunday. And also on there, as you read, Dolby Florist. They've been wonderful to us, but I'm sorry to say Dolby Florist has been closed for many, many years. So we now have the Merchandiser in Lee. I haven't pronounced that right, but they're very, very good. And they have been taking care of our Easter flowers and our Christmas flowers for many years. So that is another error on my part. So thank you very much, and thank you.
Hello, my name is Tracy Wilson, part of this church, but I also conduct the Stockbridge Festival Chorus, which was born out of this church some 20-some years ago. Next Saturday, December 12th at 5 p.m., we're doing our annual Christmas concert, the John Rutter Magnificat, which is an absolutely beautiful piece of music. Tim Weissman on organ, as you know, he's a fantastic organist, percussion, so it'll be a wonderful concert, 5 o'clock, and I'm really pleased that Brent and John are throwing an open house prior to that, so you can come and have festivities and then make your way over here at 5 o'clock for the concert. You'll have a good parking spot if you come to the open house first, so thank you. We'll see you next week.
And let me just add to that, John, Jake, and I would love to have all of you stop by the man sometime next Saturday between 2 and 5. If it's possible to sign up either with the church office or on the board, just so we have a rough idea of the amount of food and drink to have on hand, that would be helpful. But even if you can't RSVP, come by anyway. We'd love to have you.
Hi, I'm Madonna Marr from the Mission in Action Group. There are still some tags on the tree out there if you have not picked one out and decide to get a gift for someone who we can make Christmas a little bit cheerier. If you prefer to just write a check to the Mission in Action, to the church with the Mission in Action Christmas tree line, where we accept donations and we will go and we will shop for you. So thank you very much, and gifts have to be wrapped with the tag attached by next Sunday, the 13th. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Joanne from the Deacons, and if you haven't yet had a chance to purchase your copy of Brent's Book of Sermons, today is a really good day to do so. It's signed by him, a treasure for you to hold. So if you'd like, I'll be in the JE room after worship selling these. And also, you might want to pick up a copy of David's CD of Beautiful Christmas Music. Thank you.
Now let us continue deeper into worship. I invite Jim and Deb to come forward to light the Advent candle.
We light this candle as a symbol of the purity of heart only God can bring. For he shall purify his people like gold and silver until they shine forth in his righteousness.
Our reading today comes from the final book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. Rather than a proper name, the word Malachi literally means messenger. Hear now the words from the third chapter, verses 1 through 6. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight, indeed he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purify of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be swift to bear witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired workers in their wages, the widow and the orphan, against those who thrust aside the refugees and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, have not perished. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you. These are the words of truth. Let us dwell in them.
Will you pray with me? Loving God, as we wait for the coming of the Christ child, draw our hearts ever nearer and closer to you. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Perhaps there is no other season in the entirety of the calendar that draws as heavily upon sight and sound as these darkening days leading up to Christmas. Perhaps there is no other season in the entirety of the calendar that borrows so heavily from gifts from other cultures, all that help us to prepare for this sacred time of the coming of the Holy One. If you were up late in the wee hours of the morning and unable to go back to sleep and drove down the streets even of our fair Stockbridge, long after all others have gone to bed, you would see small lights shining brightly on windowsills, a tradition that harkens back to Ireland, inviting the holy to come into the home. Then there are lights on the tree, reminding us just who we wait for. And of course, the warmth and joy of a crackling fireplace, the Yule log, a tradition owed to Germany of a single piece of wood, a trunk of a tree that has been dried out all year long so that no one would have to do any work on Christmas Day. Light, strong and yet gentle, these symbols of light are welcoming and warming. They bathe the whole season in beauty and tranquility. They are gifts and traditions of meaning. And then there are the sounds, of course, bells ringing and people singing, carolers, the gift of England, wassailing, the word is, offering neighbors good wishes of health and happiness. And of course, there is another great gift of England, the one that Ronnie lifted up, Handel's Messiah. Originally crafted for another season, that of Lent and Easter, now far more often, that great oratorio makes its home in these darkening days of Advent. And the question that lies at the heart of that great piece, the question that first appears by librettist Charles Jennens in the very second movement, is the very question that Malachi poses this morning. As we wait for the holy to come, how can we mere mortals dare stand face to face with the perfect and the divine? How can we possibly prepare our lives to meet Christ face to face? There are questions posed in the second scene, one entitled The Coming Judgment. He chooses, Jennens does, to explore what that judgment will look like. And from all of the scriptures that he could look at that talks about judgment, and there are plenty of them in this great book, he chooses instead to solely focus on these words from Malachi. And on the lips of a bass soloist, rich and deep, he asks, what is the nature of God's love that is coming? And even more vexing, how is it that you and I, mortal flesh, might stand before the pure love? Make no mistake about it, those are not meant to be easy questions. And even though taking those questions seriously will without doubt interrupt the tranquility and peace of this Christmas season, the truth is that the reality of life already does, if we are honest with ourselves. And even though the light that Malachi describes, a searing light of the refiner's fire, is more mighty than any Yule log, and far less comforting than the twinkling of lights in windows or trees, there is comfort to be found here in this tough reading, in the truth that we do not have to be perfect, because we are not. They're not easy questions, but they are questions that are paramount to our Advent journey. If the coming of God's holy messenger might actually fully bring peace and tranquility to our lives. To the robust questions of that booming bass, Handel answers with alto, soprano, and the entire choir lifted up. There is a catena of powerful scriptures in the next two sections focused squarely on just who this messenger is Malachi talks about, the Christ child. There are stories we know by heart, virgins conceiving, people walking in darkness that suddenly see great light. There are good tidings to Zion, told by angels in the heavens to shepherds in the fields. There are the eyes of the blind opening and the hungry being fed. Those are words not meant to avoid the hard questions from Malachi, but rather to help us face up to the reality of the refiner's fire, to give those tough questions a context that might help us respond not in fear, but rather in hope, not in dread or distraction, but rather in devotion. After the Messiah first premiered in London in 1741, Handel wrote to a friend about the throngs who attended. He said, "I should be sorry if I only entertained them. I wished to make them better." That too is the context of this holy messenger, that bringer of peace, this restorer of the covenant. In all of Hebrew scripture, in all of the Old Testament, this is the only passage that describes God as being the one to actively bring the covenant back into play. It is a beautiful message for those for whom sacred truth might be wilting under the pressures of the current time or the challenges of life before us. Malachi here proclaims that God is coming to you. To those who are bearing a load too heavy to bear or even too profound to move, Malachi says, suddenly just sit there because God will bring the covenant and promise to your side. That is, after all, what happened in a tiny town in the middle of nowhere 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. When God looked down and saw the pain and strife and people in need of healing, when God looked down and saw a world paralyzed by inequity, hate, and refugees, God said, "I will go there. And I will send my holy message of love all wrapped up in flesh, and suddenly, impossibly, inconceivably, so that hope might be renewed, direction refound, and our hearts rebound to that covenant." Friends, that is precisely what can happen in this tiny town in the middle of nowhere, too. But there is the tough aspect of this passage that rarely is preached in the midst of the joy and peace of Advent. Professor Jennifer Ayers at McCormick Theological Seminary in Chicago says that there is no mistaking the judgment of God here on the lips of Malachi. And while the Messiah turns to Isaiah, Luke, and others for comfort and hopeful context in the coming of the Messiah, there is plenty of that context here in Malachi as well. The very first words in this book that come to Malachi are words of love. And so too are the last ones God speaks to Malachi. God's judgment should not be understood as merely punitive or retributive, even if we might deserve it. But rather, God's judgment, this refining fire, is restorative. This fire is not all-consuming, but it is fully corrective. And in the midst of it, we are never alone. You see, while I think this congregation knows a lot about a lot of things, you might not be fully versed in the art of silversmithing. So let me tell you a couple of things about it. The fire is indeed beyond hot. It is difficult to go anywhere near it. And yet, the one who wishes to refine the silver, to purify it, must also go uncomfortably close to those flames, and not just a moment, but for the entire time they are purifying that precious metal. For refining silver is a delicate and intentional process. It is a restorative one. You see, the smith must hold that silver in the flames and must watch it so closely. For if the silver is allowed to become too hot, if that piece of precious metal stays in the fire even a couple of moments too long, it is ruined, it is consumed, it is destroyed. And so the smith bears the responsibility and the pain of the fire to carefully watch over and tend that precious metal. Do you know how a silversmith knows when that piece is finally ready, when it is purified but not destroyed? There is a simple test. The simple of the surface of the silver becomes so shiny and beautiful that the reflection of the refiner can be seen clearly and easily. The refiner is only done when her image is seen in the object of her creation. Facing our full confession and asking the question Malachi asks, O Lord, how shall I meet you? It is not easy or pain-free. It is to approach the refiner's fire so that the image of the one who created us might once again shine forth in us. It is why we bathe this season in twinkling lights, in beautiful music, and impossible stories of love, of virgins conceiving, of people walking in darkness and seeing a great light, of good tidings to Zion told by angels in the heavens to shepherds in the fields, and eyes of the blind opening and hungry being fed. Because the reality is all of it, in the most unlikely and sudden ways, like it did in Bethlehem, there is silence giving way to the cry of new life. Friends, as you once again go through the familiar sights and sounds of the season, of lights twinkling amidst the darkness and sounds of beauty and grace wafting on the cold wind, gifted to us by so many different cultures over so many years, I pray that you remember this even older and more beautiful gift of Malachi, a gift that calls us to bring the fullness of who we are into the fullness of God's grace. A gift that compels us to humbly ask, what are the things in our life that need to be removed so that the image of the one who created us might be restored? It is not an easy question, and it may even interrupt the peace and tranquility of these beautiful days. But taken seriously and courageously, it offers the chance to find the kind of peace and humility that goes beyond all the gifts of human culture, that goes beyond lights and fire and music, and even Handel's breathtaking oratorio or even Rutter's Magnificat. It is the peace that provides calm in the heart, even and especially in the midst of reality. It is the peace that surpasses all human understanding and surpasses our imperfection, our brokenness, and pain that God already knows that we bear. Return to me, our loving God says in this season, and I will return to you. And if you are so mired or burdened that you cannot even move, I will come and meet you. That is the hard, challenging, and yet beautiful and transforming good news Malachi brings for us today. May they kindle within our breast to do in lowly spirit all that might please God best. Amen. brothers and sisters, hear these good words from the Gospel of John. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who gives their heart over to him might not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Christ child into the world to condemn us, but instead that all of us might be saved through him. Friends, be strong. Take heart. Your sins are forgiven. Friends, reconciled with God, I invite you to come to this table. Whether you are a member of this church or whether you've never been in a church before, whether you confessed all of your sins or just some of them, whether you are ready or not, you are invited to come to this table. For this is not our table. This is the table of Christ, and Christ bids all who are weary, all who are hungry, all who are needy to come to this table and to be fed and strengthened and nourished and emboldened to live. As we prepare to come to this table, we remember the story of it, that it was on the night in which Jesus gave his life for us. The night where he gathered his disciples around this very table. He took the bread and he gave thanks for it and he blessed it. And then he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he lifted up the cup, the fruit of the vine, and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. This is my blood that has been poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink deeply of it and do so in remembrance of me." Just as he blessed this meal, let us humbly bless this meal. I invite you to take one or both hands in the ancient sign of Christian blessing and aim your blessings and your love and your hopes at the elements on this table, and notice that as they come forward, they will drip on the heads of those in front of you. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, giver of life and renewer of covenant, send your spirit down upon this meal. Send it deep into the bread and let it swim in this cup, that through our gathering and through our partaking, we may come face to face with you. God bless this meal and
and all who dare to eat of it. Amen. And just if, in case you are sitting there wondering if you dare eat of this meal, if you are worthy of this meal, know this, that on that night that Jesus first shared this meal, around that table, there was one who was about to betray Jesus. There was one who was going to deny Jesus not once, but three times. And every single person around that table was going to leave and flee and abandon Jesus in his greatest hour of need. And Jesus shared this meal with them anyway. And so I promise you, whatever you have done or left undone, Jesus will share this meal with you as well. A couple things you should know about this meal. First, the bread, it is gluten-free. The cup, it has not a trace of alcohol in it, that there might not be any barriers between one who needs this meal and this meal. Here is how we observe this tradition in this church. We will serve you in the pews. The deacons will bring around this beautiful bread and this wonderful cup. Just as they serve you, we invite you to turn to one another and serve each other with whatever words come to your heart. When the bread comes to you, we ask you to hold on to it so that we might all eat it together, remembering that we are indeed one body. When the cup comes to you, you're invited to drink of it whenever you are ready, in remembrance that in the end, we will all come face to face and stand alone before Christ on our own. Friends, this is the feast of God, and it is for the people of God, and that is you, and all is now ready.
Friends, this is the bread of life. Take now and eat.
Friends, as you receive, this is the cup of salvation. Take and drink. This is the cup of salvation. This is the cup of salvation. Having been fed, let us now lift up to God our thanksgiving, singing the words that Jesus taught us to pray together.
Thank you.
having prayed with our voices and our lips, I now invite you to pray with your lives. There is never such a thing as too much prayer. And so I invite you to join all of your voices as one in our unison prayer for the day as printed in your bulletin. Let us pray. Holy center of this most holy season, Jesus, child and ruler, all our stars point to your birth. All our wanderings come home to you. All our griefs and delights find a place in the stable where you choose to transform poverty and pain into life and hope. We pray that your light shines in our life. Your peace embraces our anger and loss. Your life opens us to new discovery of ourselves, and that your outlook calls us to see our neighbors with new eyes, whether we find them as poor as shepherds, as foreign as magi, as thoughtless as innkeepers, or as helpless as infants. Be with us even as we journey toward you, helping us to go the mile and bear the load. Stir within our hearts the willingness to love you completely and to serve you deeply. Amen. Friends, for who we are and what we have, for the breath we take, for the love we find, for the joy of family, and for the gift of community, let us open our hearts and even our wallets and give in gratitude, hope, and peace.
Thank you.
Take these gifts, loving God, and pour out your love. Take these gifts, gracious God, and bestow upon them your grace. Take these gifts, creating God, and through them create new life. And take us to shaping God, and shape us in ways to better serve you. And let the whole church say, Amen. Friends, our worship is drawing to a close within these walls, that we might worship God anew beyond them. As you go forth, a couple of invitations. First, don't forget to come through these doors for the food and fellowship. But also, there are still a number of beautiful crafts from the Service League just waiting for you. And now, let us close our worship in song. The epistle reading for today comes from Paul's love letter to the church in Philippi. Here is the blessing he leaves with them and with us. May your love overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may indeed be pure and blameless. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit this day and every day. And let the church say, Amen.